And this week we're going to talk about scheduling margin. Now, margin is very important in our life. It's kind of an obscure term. When we think of margin, I automatically think of a paper, you know, the white edges on a paper. I'm working in Word, Microsoft Word all the time, right? And you're always looking at the margin, making sure you have enough. And, you know, if you're running into second page and you only have one page, you expand the margins a little bit so it all fits in one page. But we all understand the term margin. Margin is something we're familiar with, and it's that space on the side. The actual definition that we have here for margin, it's the amount available beyond what is actually needed. And so it's space. It's space that's created in our life. It's space that we need. And what happens is so many times this culture pushes us to the very limit. Our culture pushes us to be busy, 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 busy. Spend, 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 spend. More, 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 more. Until there's no margin left. And what happens? We get very stressed out. What happens when we're stressed out? We can't handle too much more. We can't handle more being put on us. It's just too much. And I'm sure all of you here have experienced that at one point in time or might be going through it this very moment in time. But margin is something we need. We need emotional margin. What happens when we say we have a short fuse? When we have a short fuse, what we're saying is that we don't have any margin. We cannot take another problem. We can't hear something else. We're going to explode. And sometimes we explode all over people. And we hurt them, and then we cut down on their margin, on their emotional margin. But we talked about there's different areas of margin. There's financial margin. Financial margin is basically having money at the end of the month. You know, that's an amazing concept. Having money at the end of the month, that's financial margin. Scheduling margin, that's having, and that's what we're going to talk about today, it's having time. For example, having time to get to someplace, having time to spend relationally. We talked about last week, when your margin decreases, your stress level increases, and your relational intimacy decreases. When margin is decreased, when you don't have that much margin in your life, when you don't have much time, there's things that begin getting squeezed and becomes very difficult. You know, it's very uncomfortable to read a book that goes all the way up to the margin, isn't it? No one likes to read any books like that. I don't know if you've seen books like that, but you know it's a really bad publisher if they've ever done that, all right? Well, you know, on the side of the road, I described last week how, you know, I don't like it when I have no room on the side. There's no margin on the side because I'm driving tense with both hands, you know? I like when there's a little space there. I can relax a little bit more, know that if I make a mistake or run off, I have a little bit of space. I have a little bit of space. We don't like it when we're in someone's personal space. When someone's up close, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. When you're uncomfortable, constantly, you're constantly stressed, constantly pushed to the edge. Now, let me qualify this. God's going to make you uncomfortable, okay? God's going to ask you to get outside your comfort zone. But when you have God asking you to get out of your comfort zone, and you have everything else in life pushing you out as well, you got to decide who you're going to listen to. You got to decide, okay, am I going to follow God pushing me out? Because very hard to have God pushing you out and everything else trying to push you as well. And what I say is that you're going to make a choice to do something. We talked about Mary and Martha last week as well. We talked about how Mary, she chose the better thing. Martha wanted to work. Jesus came to their house, and Martha had to work, 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 and work. And she wasn't doing anything bad. She wasn't doing anything sinful, right? Martha was not sinning by doing work, was she? Can I hear you? She wasn't sinning by doing work. It was a good thing. But she was completely convinced that that good thing was better than what Mary was doing. That she even went to Jesus and said, Jesus, tell my sister off here. Tell my sister that she needs to get off her lazy bum and start working. Come on, Jesus. I mean, she's telling Jesus himself, come on, tell Mary. She's convinced that what she was doing was the right thing. And so many times, life, culture can convince us that what we're doing is the right thing. By not spending time with Jesus, by doing other things in our life, that is the right thing. And we can even tell God, but God, I need to work. God, I need to pay the bills. God, I need to be here. God, I need to do this. God, tell my job. Tell this. You know, we think that God should be telling, you know, should be bowing down to what we're needing. God, we're right, right? God, isn't this what's needed? No. She has chosen. Mary chose what is needed. She chose what is needed. And guys, I want to encourage us to choose what is needed. In order to do that, we need to be prioritizing in our life. There's three things, three quick points, and I'm going to ask you to repeat this after me. Prioritizing, planning, and practicing. Can you say it with me? Prioritizing. That was terrible. My gosh. All right, let's try again. Prioritizing, planning, and practicing. Thank you. That's it. That's the sermon. God bless you. No. That's the order. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be looking at our time. In essence, we're talking a little bit about time management, okay? Because what happens is that oftentimes we're not in charge of our time. Our time is taken away by everything else. And we're oftentimes not moving in our priorities, are we? If I was asking you to evaluate your day, I mean, we would all say, I want to have more time with God. I would love to have more time. I'm going to ask you, how many would want more time with their family? Most of us would raise our hands. I would say, I would love to have more time with God. We would all raise our hands. Why? Because we realize this is a priority, but somehow it does not become a practice. Somehow it escapes our practice, and this is two things that happen. Well, another two things that happen when our scheduling margin decreases. When we don't have much margin in our schedule, there's two main things that normally get squeezed out. Our intimate time with God and our personal, intentional time of rest. Now, usually we'll get to a time of rest, but it's usually after we've exploded, after we've burnt out and fizzled out, we'll take a rest and normally inappropriate rest. We're so burnt out, we got to take a month-long rest because we're so burnt out because we didn't actually plan the rest that we needed to have. So, but the first and main thing is God. Oftentimes, God gets squeezed out. And what happens is that all these urgent things become coming before us. You know, I used to be the sticky note king. I don't know, I used to have sticky notes 10 years ago. I was working assistant pastor in California, and I used to have sticky notes all over my computer. And I had a job to do, but there was always new things. I was like the gopher, you know? Go do this, go do this. So I always had all these things coming before me constantly. And what I was meant to do, I wasn't able to do very well. Why? Because I was always dealing with urgent things. And when you don't have much margin, you don't have time to step back and look at what the important things are, what the priorities in our life is. We're just practicing and going through life. And we deal with all the urgent things that come before us. And before we know it, what's going on with our life? What's happening? What are we here for? What are we in this life for? What are we on this purpose? What's the purpose of us being in this world? And before we know it, we're getting caught up with all the urgent things and we miss out on the important things, just like Martha did. And again, it's not like we're intentionally trying to miss out on it, but it's like that verbiage that says, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Please remember that. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And oftentimes, we're not planning our priorities. We're just going to go with the flow. We plan certain things, but again, our priorities get shifted. And it's like wheel alignment. You know, it's like our car. Most of us have vehicles here, and guess what? Your wheel gets out of alignment. If you're going to have your car for any amount of time, your wheel's going to get out of alignment, and you're going to be bent constantly having to do the thing that perhaps is filling in the margin, going to the margins off the road. Your vehicle, your natural state of being will want to get off the road and fill up the margin in your life. Fill up the time, be busy, busy, busy. And we get busy with lots of things, but not always the important things. And what happens is that we need to get back, we need to take time, go to the pit stop, go to the mechanic, find a good one somehow. You know, if you know of any good ones, let me know. But you know, find a good mechanic. And then ask them, hey, fix the wheels. Can you fix the alignment? We need to stop. We need to stop driving forward, driving forward, driving forward. Why? Because we're going to wear out our wheels a lot quicker than what they're meant to be worn out. And we're going to have to stop and take a lot longer, pay a lot more because of that. In our life, we get times and we get out of alignment. Why? Because you have bumps on your road. You have bumps on your road. It's going to happen. And we need to take time and say, okay, you know, the Bible says here in Proverbs 4, it says to ponder the path of your feet. You don't have to turn the page, but if you're taking notes, page 563 in the Blue Bibles, Proverbs 4:26, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Psalm 119:59 says, I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. Sometimes we just need to stop. We need to break the cycle of our life. We need to sometimes break the routine of where our life is going. Because when priorities get out of line, sometimes we just get into autopilot and we're just going, going, going. We deal with the urgent things. We're just going, 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 doing, doing, doing. And when you're so busy, you don't have time to reevaluate or to ponder the path of your feet because you're doing, I got to do something. I don't even have time to think. You know, if I were to ask you, how are you doing? What's going on? I don't have time. I got to go. You know, it's a rushed society. It's a rushed society. And this is what, again, our culture pushes us to those extents. But we need to break that cycle. Why? We need to evaluate and look where we're going, how we're going there. We need to prioritize, plan, and practice. We need to be going through our life and doing it on purpose, doing it with our priorities. What happens? When priorities are not in the forefront, when they are an afterthought, when they are an afterthought, we begin just going through life and going through the motions. We still do. We're still functioning, but it's like autopilot. You know, I'll give an example. When I was in high school, I played basketball for a few years. I know there was no football program. I know I'm built for football, not basketball, but I played basketball for a few years. And I remember, and you know, I loved God when I was in high school and growing up. I grew up as a Christian, and I loved God. And you know, I remember I believe it was the third year I began playing, and I just, you know, I was playing every year, so I went to go back and register to play again. And as I was going practice, I knew that God was convicting me to be praying more. And every time I'd go in my room, and I'd be praying for 3-4 hours at a time in my room. And I know that sounds weird, but I'm kind of proud to be weird in a sense. I'd rather be weird. I'd rather be someone that prays than not prays. I'm not saying I do that all the time right now, especially, okay? But I'm saying at that point in time, yeah, that was a bit weird. And I remember saying, God, basketball practice is taking so much of my time. Then I remember I felt God speak to my heart saying, I never told you to do that to begin with. I never told you to do it this year. I never told you that. Now, God didn't tell me to quit because I don't really believe in quitting. I'm one of those guys that when you say yes, you say yes. But I quit, okay? So I don't want to make that the moral of the story. But I did stop, and I took that time to pray and to dedicate to God. Sometimes we're just on autopilot. And when God's not a priority and we don't have the right, autopilot is like just doing your habits of life, just doing life. Autopilot in life can be a good thing. You can have good habits built. And when you have a habit, you don't have to think about it, do you? When you have a habit set, like when I wake up in the morning, I just do it. I just do what I need to do. I have a routine, I do it. You don't have to think about it. So good habits are great. They help you. But sometimes we get stuck in even good things that keep us from the great things. Sometimes we get stuck in good things that keep us from the best things, like our top priorities. Biblically speaking, the Bible orders your priorities. The Bible puts things that say this should be first. Now, culture and philosophy will tell you, no, you know, don't put this, whatever. But the Bible has a set of priorities. I'm not going to go through all the priorities because some of them are controversial and we're not going to like them. All right? But number one, God is first. And that's what I want to talk about. God needs to be the top priority. He says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. But oftentimes we're searching and going after all the other things, and we miss out on the main thing. We'll say, yes, God, your top priority. But sometimes our actions in life are not living, and we're not able to practice it. Why? Oftentimes we're not really planning it. We're not really planning. When we take out that middleman, the missing link of planning, our priorities, oftentimes we will skip prioritizing and planning, and we'll just be practicing. We'll just be doing life, going through the motions, doing what we need to do, and all of them are going to be probably good things. They might be good things. There might be some bad things in there, but there's probably good things that you're doing that we're just automatically doing, autopilot. And I'm asking you to stop. Go off to the side a little bit. Be still and know that he is God. I asked you last week if we would commit to just being still for 5 minutes a day. How many of you were able to do that at least once this past week? Twice. I won't go any further. Just taking some time out and saying, okay, I'm going to pause right now. I'm just going to concentrate on God. Let's turn to the scripture, page 1041 in the Blue Bibles, Ephesians 5:15. Page 1041, Ephesians 5:15. When we don't plan our priorities, we automatically go into a different mode. There's automatically a new set of priorities that come into our life, church. When we don't plan our priorities, we don't prioritize them, we don't plan them out, a new set automatically will come into gear. It's like, again, you will automatically get your wheels out of alignment and be bent to doing something else. You will be bent to live a selfish life. Okay? You will be bent if you don't take time to do life on purpose, to plan it out. You will be bent to moving and doing everything yourself, to filling up the margin, doing whatever we need to need for me, or my family, this and that. But I'll just put it this way, God's out of the picture normally. God gets squeezed out when our margin decreases. When we get that bent, God is getting squeezed out of the picture. God's getting squeezed out of the lane. Ephesians 5:15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." How many know what that word means? Never mind. "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what is the will of the Lord." Another translation says, instead of "see then that you walk circumspectly," it says, "be very careful how you live." Be very careful how you live. Now, we all know, again, life is important, God is important, family is important. We know these things, but we're not always careful how we're implementing them. When prioritizing is an afterthought, we're not often following a different set of priorities, being coming in automatically into that autopilot zone. "See then you walk circumspectly. Be very careful how you live. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeem the time. Take the opportunities that are there before you. Redeem the time that you have. You all have time. And you all make choices what you're going to do with that time. Or you make choices on who's going to dictate your time. You make the choice. Like, I can't. My job. You have chosen then to make your job a top priority. Now, that's really touchy for a lot of us here, okay? But you have then chosen to make job the one that can dictate and rule over your time. Well, yeah, you don't get me wrong. It's not that jobs are wrong. I'm not even going anywhere near that it's wrong at all. But I can't pray. I can't do that because I'm so busy and so working. What happens? You've let life go on autopilot. Now your priorities are out the door. And what seems urgent, like money, taking care of things, all of a sudden now really that's at the top of the list now. I need money. And we can say money for my family, money to live, money to do this, money, whatever. But money gets to that top place. Just like wheel gets out of alignment. It's not that we meant to do it, but all of a sudden as we're thinking and going in the direction of life, things begin turning. And again, we don't take time to adjust. We don't take time to think. There'll be times where you have to focus on getting a job for a while and find the right job. But what happens is that then you have to bring it back down to the right priority level. Your job is not top priority. God can never be, should never be moved from the top priority level in your life. God should never be moved from that top priority. We need to make sure that prioritizing comes first. Prioritizing as a forethought, not as an afterthought. I'm going to do my best with this example. I don't have it here. It'd be a pretty neat illustration. You can find it online on YouTube. If you want, quite a few different places there. Stephen Covey also has done this example. But, you know, there's this example of a jar. Let's just take a large jar, for example. And this professor asked some of their students and gave them large rocks, gave them a bunch of pebbles or marbles, gave them some sand and water. And all of these things, he said, okay, I want you to put them all in this one jar. Now, I don't have the description to show you. Again, you can look online and see it, but I didn't want to take time to do that right now. So just picture one jar that's empty and then these four other things there. And so these students began trying to do it. They put the sand in, they'll put the water in, and they try to put the marbles in and then the rocks in, and it couldn't all fit in there. And they were frustrated saying, "Professor, this doesn't work. You can't fit this all in this jar. The measures you give us won't fit." And then what all of a sudden he did is that, no, it's the way you prioritized it. And what he did is that he took the big rocks first and stuck that in there, into the jar. Then he took the marbles and put it in there and shake the marbles down there. Then he took the sand and poured the sand. Now the sand filled in all the cracks. And then he poured the water, and the water was able to get into the extra little margins that were in there. Often we say we're too busy, and we take out the important things. We put in the sand first. We put in the water first. And we put the sand in first. We put in the things that we want to do, the things that feel urgent but not really that important. When we put those other things in there first, and all of a sudden, we don't have time for the things that are really important in our life. They cry out, there's an order. There's an order needed for our life. There is an order. Can you say it with me? There is an order needed for my life. Prioritize first. What are the main things in your life that are needed? Put the big rocks. Those are the main priorities. put them in first. It's like when you're packing the car. I love packing the car. I feel very accomplished and proud, as I think it's maybe just a guy thing, I don't know. But I like packing. My wife's going to be going here Thursday. I'm not going to see them for a while. They're going down south to visit family while I'm going to Mexico. And so she's going to be gone, then I'm going to go back to Mississippi and pick them up and drive them back here. But I'm going to be packing the van. And you know, when I pack the van, I like doing it because there's tons of stuff that needs to go in the van. And I know I can do it. I know I can fit it in there. And I want to leave space for the rearview mirror as well. I want to leave some margin in there. But no, when my family said, they're like, you can't do that. You can't fit that in. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, I like taking the challenge. But what happens when you, as whoever packs your car, whoever packs whatever, normally what you do is you put the biggest thing in there first. Usually you set the foundation. Usually you set the foundation. What's the biggest thing? And usually the biggest thing in luggage has the most and usually some of the most important stuff. Not always, okay? But general rule. In this case, God. God is meant to be the cornerstone, not your roof. He's meant to be the cornerstone of the building, the foundational piece. He needs to go in there first, and when he goes in there first, when the big rocks go in there first, everything else will fit into the right order. Everything else will fit, but if you do it backwards, guess who's not going to fit? God. When you do it backwards, guess who's not going to fit in your schedule? God. And you can say that's not true, but evaluate. I think we all know in our hearts that this is what happens. Again, not intentionally, and that's part of the problem, is that we're not planning intentionally. We're not planning intentionally. So again, we're not doing this intentionally. It just happens in our life. We're not trying to get our wheel out of alignment intentionally, but it happens in our life. And we need to evaluate and take that time and say, okay, this is first. This needs to go in first. God, I need to plan for God. I need to plan for my family. I need to plan for what God's called me to be doing. I need to plan for this first. Otherwise, the cares of this world and everything is going to take it out, and you won't have room for God. It happens, church. It happens to all of us. Psalm 90, verse 12, page 530 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us, and you know, when you begin thinking about eternity, all of a sudden priorities begin coming into mind. When you begin thinking about the long term, teach us to number our days. Teach us that when we begin thinking about our days, that's what we need to do. We need to take time and think about our life. Now, I'm going to ask you a question here. I know we're kind of running over in time here, but I'm going to ask you, how we need to plan and practice, okay? We need to prioritize, and so let's take that prioritization that God is first, okay? How do we implement, how do we plan and schedule God first in our life? There's going to be some Q&A, some response that I'd like to hear from us here. How do you have God in your day? How do you plan for God in your day? How do you plan for God in your week, your month, your year? I want to hear some ideas. What are some ideas that we can do to practice, to plan God? Brian. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is talk to him. Give him the first part of your day. You have something else? Oh, no? Okay. Just giving him the thought. Do you know this is not going to be your natural bend? Again, your wheel alignment is not going to be natural, all right? This will take some intentional change. This is not easy, all right? It takes some extra effort at first to make this shift back to where life needs to be at, okay? It's not easy. So don't get me that this is going to be easy. It's not fun at first, okay? It takes what? How many days to create a habit? There's so many theories. 14, 21, I don't know, whatever now. It takes a little while to create a habit, okay? So I'm just saying it's going to take a little time. It's not going to just happen overnight. What are some other ways that we can plan and purpose and practice God? Debbie. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, putting God in there, she's getting food both naturally and spiritually. Heidi.
Yeah.
Thanking Him is so important. You know, and just like what happens when we built a habit. Most of our parents have trained us to pray before we eat, right? We're trained to thank God. Sometimes it can just become routine and it loses some of the meaning. But when we really are in it and think about it, it takes on meaning. Thanking God. Thank you, God, for this meal. Thank you for what you blessed us with. Thank God for it. And then you can put those little stops in the middle of your day as well for different things that happen. Why? Acknowledge God in all your ways and He will direct your paths. Acknowledge Him, Mother. Absolutely. Look, your plan is flexible, all right? So let me put it this way. Your purpose, God, that needs to be stable. Your plan might change. There might be different things that come in where you might be flexible. Some of plan A is the best part of my day. I want to give it to God. But sometimes life happens, things happen, and we have to make an adjustment. And that's okay. You don't want to get so rigid that I cannot move this. But it's important that it's in place and you don't forget it. All right, so look, I'm gonna stop here for sake of time here, but you know, just a couple things like we're mentioning here. There's praying, there's reading. These are different things in our day. We could be declaring, confessing, interceding for others, for our nation, for your pastor, for the people, for the people in the mission field, you know, taking time to love on others throughout the day. There's lots of ways that you can be giving time to God in your day. Guess what? I believe when you give time to your family, you're also giving time to your call. What God has called you to do, because God has called you first and foremost to your family. He's called you first and foremost to Himself, okay? But also to your family. So it's important. Your family, to me, my family is ministry, okay? Loving on my family is not just meant to be loving my family, it's a ministry. I don't want just my love for my family, I want God's love. I want them to know God's love, because God's love is much deeper, much wider, much greater than my love. I found that out. I found that out in some hard ways sometimes when I've had people that I hadn't liked. Like my father, for example, and I've seen God's love come into my heart and fill me with a love that was not my own. And I know there is a difference between my love and God's love. I want to minister God's love to the people I love the most. The ones that God's called me to the most, my family. How about weekly? How about the Sabbath? We're like, well, that's the law. We don't believe in the law. God did it before the law was ever in place. God Himself had a Sabbath day. On the seventh day, He rested from His work in creation, right? Am I talking Bible here or heresy? Right? Talking the Bible. He rested. God Himself set a pattern for us. He commanded the Ten Commandments. And look, let me ask you, for those that believe the law is abolished, is it still wrong to murder someone? Is it still wrong to steal? Is it still wrong to commit adultery? Those things haven't stopped. And it's still wrong not to honor the Sabbath. Back then it was Saturday, okay? Saturday was a Sabbath day. A time of rest where your to-do list stops. Okay? Your to-do list stops. You don't have to do yard work, but, and again, I know that there's going to be, there's a pushback on a lot of this stuff, okay? And I understand that. But this was before even the law was put into place, and it's still something that God, He doesn't mandate it over us and saying, you must do this. But I recommend strongly that we consider having margin in our life and obeying and looking what God has put into place. Sabbath, even command the 7 years, after 7 years of land to rest. It's appropriate to have rest. Monthly, how about taking a time of communion with God monthly? A time of communion. We take communion here on our Friday night meeting once a month, okay? But maybe you yourself just need to take a time once a month and you plan a communion time with God. You take His bread, take the wine or juice, whatever it is. How about yearly? How about going to a conference? How about going to a Christian conference once a year? I'm just giving some ideas. I'm not saying this is what you have to do, okay? I'm giving some ideas on how to schedule God. Because when the big rock's in first, everything else will be able to fit when you begin putting the important things first. So again, prioritizing, planning, and practicing. Can you say it with me again? Prioritizing, planning, and practicing. I mentioned this verse earlier, Matthew 11:28, and just have two verses, and I'm going to close here. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, something I want to share with you guys, is that when you make time for God, you make time for yourself as well. When you make time for God, you make time for yourself as well. Because God says it's in me that you will find rest. He is our hiding place, the Bible says. The secret place of the Most High God. I shall abide in the secret place. It's in God. You will find rest for your souls in him. It says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Isaiah 40, verse 31, page 639 of the Blue Bibles, said, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen? You know, sleep is to your body what being God's present is to your soul. Let me say that again. Sleep is to your body as God's presence is to your soul. He is that place of rest. And again, it takes faith to believe that. It takes faith to trust God. Why? Because it's not exactly tangible, right? But when you begin practicing it, those that have, be still and know that I am God. God wants you to know it, so he says, be still. Take some time. Taste and see that the Lord is good. God wants to show himself to you, so take a step. Take a step in these directions and begin seeing. You might not see as much as you want to see, but take a few more steps and you'll keep seeing God, that he is faithful, that he is true, that he wants to provide for you, that he wants to show you the way. I mean, why don't we have everyone stand here with me today? I know it's a bit warm in here. I don't know if it's just me with the lights and the extra baggage. I don't know, but it feels a bit warm in here. And appreciate you guys sticking with me here. But again, talking about margin, and we don't have much time margin here left. But in any case, I want to encourage you to create margin in your life. Create margin in your schedules. And don't just consider God, don't just remember God, but put him first. Prioritize and plan. Plan. Plan your priorities. If not, they will not happen. They might happen for a little while, but they need to be in constant check. Ponder the path of your feet. Amen. I'm going to ask every eye to be closed and every head to be bowed here today. With no one looking around, I'm going to ask, if you're here today and you've never asked God to come into your life, you've never invited him into your life, you've never said the words that Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins, that you took my sin and shame away through what you did on the cross. Again, I don't have time to go, and I apologize that I want to give you a fuller aspect, and afterwards you can come to me if you need some more fuller. I want to explain to you more the gospel. But if you have never received God into your life and never said that you believe in Jesus and you receive him into your life as your sacrifice for your sin, that because your sin deserves death. Your sin deserves death. It deserves, the wages of sin is death, and it separates you from God. Your sin separates you from God. That is death. That is the death we're speaking about. It's eternal separation from your Creator. That is the death we're talking about. And God wants you so bad. He does not want to be separated from you. And that is why he sent his only Son. Because it was through his death that now that separation, that wall, that thick wall of separation, that thick wall of sin could be removed so you can have fellowship with God, so that not only could you make God the priority, but you could walk with him. He could be with you. He could talk with you. He could be inside your very life. This is what God wants for you because he loves you so much. That's why he sent his son. If you have never received Jesus into your life, if you have never invited him, if you never invited God into your life, but today you want to, I'm going to ask you just very quietly without anyone looking around, just to slip up your hand so that I could see that hand tonight. And I'd like to pray with you here. If that's you, and I just want you to slip up your hand, and we're just going to pray together. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything like that right now. But if you would like to invite God into your life and watch what that top priority does in your life, just want you to slip up your hand where you're at. All right. Seem to all be good here today. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me afterwards. I want you, if you feel you need any prayer for anything, I invite you to come forward after the meeting here, after I'm done speaking, and I'll pray with you up here as well. But Father, I thank you for each person here. I thank you, Father, for our life, Lord, that you have given us time here. And even though it's a short time upon this life, I thank you for what we have. And I pray, Lord, that we would make, Lord God, that you would help us, Lord, and teach us, Lord, to make the best use out of it. That you would show us your priorities, Lord God. You would show us your heart, your will, and your purpose, God, that we would discover the will of God in our life. And I thank you, Father, for those that are here today, those that made the time to be here this morning. And I pray that your blessing, your word, not my word, Lord, but that your word, Father, would echo in their hearts whatever it is you have for them to hear today. And I thank you for that, Lord, and I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Church, God bless you guys. We had the family meal afterwards. I encourage you to please hang out with us. Again, you are all welcome to have the family meal with us. It's in the back room over there. It'll be served not just right away, but take some time. We got some snacks in the meantime. God bless you. The offering, if you're here for the first time, please get a free gift over there. And God bless you.